Dark Wings.
Dork Words.
The Game of Thrones Podcast.
Episode 0.
Anticipation.
We're rolling?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll make it official. This is preview episode, the prologue episode of our new Game of Thrones themed podcast. I'm Chuck Davis. I'm a big fan of the books. I've read Game of Thrones, Storm of Swords, and Clash of Kings twice, and A Feast for Crows once, and then I listened to them all again, the audiobook versions. Last year, when my wife was just reading the book, so I could kind of keep up with her.
My name is Brendan Riley, and I just finished Game of Thrones 2 weeks ago.
My name is Eric Solonis, and I have recently, for the first time, read through all four of the currently released books.
My name is Molly Welsh, and I've read all of the books, and I started reading A Game of Thrones again recently, and I'm little more than halfway through it again, and I've watched a lot of the online stuff. I've watched the first 15 minutes of the first episode and looked at tons and tons of people in the Iron Throne and been very jealous for the past week of everything.
Oh, I saw that montage too. Or well, the Rain, did you see the Rain Wilson one?
Yeah,
the Rain Wilson one.
A friend of mine, Nick Mazuka, he lives in Philadelphia, and he sent it to all of us on our phones, and it's his profile picture, and he looks like a badass mofo. It's one of the coolest pictures I've ever seen of him, and he's all, you know, draped over it, and it's beautiful.
I did watch the preview scenes that they released too, so I've seen a little bit of it so far.
And I've been playing Win the Throne sweepstakes like every day with all of their keywords, and I watched a couple of the like Houses of things, and for the most part, I've really enjoyed everything I've watched. There's only been two or three things where I'm like, no. So
A couple things in the show definitely look wrong or just don't quite match, I guess, what you would have envisioned they would look like.
Yeah.
I watched the 15-minute preview, which was pretty good, and I've seen a couple of the trailers. But I haven't gone over all that stuff. I didn't play any of the games on the website or any of that kind of stuff. One thing that I was really kind of concerned with, which I'm still on the fence about, I'm not sure how well they'll play it off, but in the books he does a great job of describing like the uniqueness and the vastness and the awesome spectacle of each of these castles.
Definitely.
Like Winterfell and the Eyrie and King's Landing.
Castle Black.
Castle
like
Black.
All those from Castle Black and the Wall.
Yes.
Yeah. And all I could think was, you know, these, the only way they could do justice to these is if they got, like, the Weta Workshop to do the whole, you know, Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings trilogy treatment with the bigature models that they did and just the sweeping camera, you know, just to drink in the detail of it all.
Yeah.
Instead of have it be like, you know, original Star Trek episode where there's the one matte painting where you can see the castle over there for 2 seconds
then
you cut away. I feel it's going to be a little bit more of that, but hopefully, you know, at least put a little more detail into the matte painting so you can sort of get a sense of what you're looking at before they cut away.
Well, most of the, what I've seen anyway from the previews have just been like places within the castle or here's this courtyard, but I don't recall so far seeing like
I think the biggest thing I've seen was, you know, that in the preview, that sort of shot of the wall. That's I think that was the biggest thing I've seen so far.
Did any of you guys watch Rome, the HBO series Rome?
I saw a couple episodes.
I think it's going to be, I mean, production value wise, I think it's going to be similar, because that was, I think, to date, like the most expensive HBO series, and the reason they canceled it, I think, is because it was costing them too much money. But, you know, they built this awesome set somewhere in Italy that was like essentially three blocks of ancient Rome. But after about 6 episodes, you've sort of seen, like, you recognize all the same locations and walls and stuff, and I'm just afraid, you know, the inside of Winterfell versus the inside of King's Landing. It's all just gonna look like, you know, something from a Robin Hood movie or something.
Although I do remember seeing some shots like in, I don't know if it was King's Landing or not, but it was somewhere in the South where they had some things that looked slightly more, I don't know, the environment looked slightly more like tropical,
like
somehow.
Dawn.
Like, yeah, it just, and so hopefully that sort of thing will help differentiate that too.
I'm interested to see when they finally get there, and tell me if I'm spoiling, but like out of Westeros, where, and we're all probably going to have debates on pronunciation, but Daenerys and Bravos, and all those places, I'm really interested to see how different, like, I love the way he describes them, Daenerys and Khal Drogo going across the land, and like how it changes, and the deserts, and the hoo-ha.
I definitely have very specific pictures of what that whole area looks like, and the Dothraki
sea
and the market. What's the name of the, maybe a spoiler, but the city that they go to, the Dosh Kalin are the...
What is that place called?
We're failing right now,
America. It's underneath the, what is it, the Mother of Mountains or something?
Yeah,
it's right
at the foot.
I'm trying to remember what it's
the
called
old,
now.
The
yeah.
old ladies
something
or
about
the
crones. Where they had, like, dragged all the idols of all the gods.
Yeah,
yeah
they have that.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm interested to see, because, I've got very specific images about that.
Yeah, even the statues. Like, the statues outside of that place of all the gods, like, all of the gods from forever.
Yes.
All of those statues are very specifically described.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll get a fleeting glimpse of them, I'm sure, before they
kind
of cut to the inside of a tent.
one detail I'm curious is what all these imaginative multicolored bearded Tiroshi people are going to look like.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. With the green.
Yeah.
Who is it who originally starts with Daenerys and Viserys?
Magister Illyrio.
Illyrio.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
With his forked beard.
I pictured Illyrio just being immensely obese.
Yeah.
You know, like he needed people to carry him around. And I don't think the actor that they picked is particularly large.
I always just, with him and all those other dudes, like the brightness of the colors in the books in my head, you know, with the yellow forked beard and like the silver hair and like, you know, he doesn't, with colors, he's never been like taupe. It's like silver, red, yellow, green, blah. It like bold.
It's very bold colors.
Yeah.
Well, and there has been, you know, like you were saying about like they, you don't think that they picked an actor that was big enough. And we were talking earlier about maybe what Tyrion, what we think he might look like. And so you can only hope that if they cast actors that don't necessarily look like what we might picture.
Embody
like,
the spirit of the character.
I did see a picture of, Robert...
Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, he doesn't look as large as I think he is, but I can only hope that, and I can't remember the actor's name. I generally like him, and so you can only hope that they're like, well, these actors can at least embody that.
The presence.
Yeah, I can see him sort of being sort of that brusque sort of
drunken.
Yeah.
loud Robert.
But he's not going to have the foreboding, large, I don't know, they can shoot it any way they want.
Right.
They can probably make him look like, put him in lifts or whatever, so he's looking down and everybody's going to be talking to them.
I mean, Gandalf was
on the mountain, I mean, that dude better be big.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, I did read somewhere, wasn't it, he's like, the actor that they want to get to play him is... huge. He's like
he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm really interested in, like, I mean, talking about characters and how they're in, like, the Hound. I've always been super intrigued in my head of this man who I don't want to spoil, but, like, who I very much enjoy reading about.
The Hound is, like,
one
of my favorite supporting characters, actually.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And it's, oh my god, like, you see these totally different sides of him. Ah, no pun intended. But, like, he's two-faced. He's totally two-faced.
He is. I keep forgetting that sometimes reading about him. I guess I never quite figured out what he was supposed to look like.
Right, because, I mean, you definitely see, like, there are people who get up close and ugly with the Hound, and then there are people who are only, like, intimidated by him because he is what he is from afar.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how they deal with people like that. That there are very specific views from other characters of this person. And
that's an interesting point. Like, the whole concept of the point of view character is a little bit lost in this translation of the story.
Yeah, you don't get that inner monologue anymore.
Right. we've got sort of the global guy's
that's just
eye
one
view.
Of the
unless they have
one
the
of the
characters thinking in the show. Which
okay,
I don't know how that
Dune?
Works.
Are we
going to
do that?
So hopefully, yeah. I mean, hopefully, obviously, that's a big the perspective thing is a big deal as far as creating the heart and the essence of the stories in the books, and so hopefully they'll be able to find a way to translate some communicate.
Right.
That feel somehow into the this.
They could probably do some like POV sequences, you know,
definitely.
Or, you know,
hopefully.
Right. Shoot the camera as if you're the character's point of
well,
view.
Well, I did get, and I won't spoil what he said, but I did get a phone call from my father who's never read the books.
Mm-hmm.
He's heard me talk about them and he's heard me say, you need to read these books. And he'd be like, whatever, Molly, because he's a grumpy old man. But he called me and he was like, oh my God, I absolutely loved it. I would just watch the episode. And then he went right away. He's like, at the end of the episode, this is what I saw. Is that really what I saw? And I was like, yes, it is.
Boy.
And he was like, oh my God. So there is that, like, there's going to be some stuff that I think right away a lot of the readers got over because it was described as part of the world and part of this culture and part of this history. And I think some people who haven't read the books are going to, they're going to get that.
That's exactly.
Be like, ah, I can't get over this.
That's what I was hoping to hear. I mean, just that initial reaction. Because there's so many awesome cliffhangers and plot points and just twists
and
shocking
moments.
Exactly.
I was telling Brandon, I think one of my favorite things about the author is that he's very good at ending chapters.
Yep.
He really knows how to
Completely.
End a chapter.
Like, you
yeah.
want to jump to the next chapter of that character.
Exactly.
You're going to skip five other awesome ones.
But you can't because he's really good with making you not do that because the in-between chapters, like, carry information that, like, then later that character is reflecting on the information we've learned about in between
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, they
so,
do, for
or
sure.
Or don't know information.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, no,
yeah.
this is not... There was many points when I was reading a Game of Thrones, and I was like, okay, why is it taking so long to get back to this character? I wanna... So I don't know if they'll be able to create that tension within the series, but hopefully they'll be able to.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to describe to you what we're seeing right now.
Oh my God, this is
Greg. Greg is Stark all the way.
He's
he's Jon Snow.
He's Jon Snow.
Well,
and he's
you
wearing,
know, by blood, I'm not Stark.
have,
you know how the whole thing.
Yeah. Have a fabulous costume, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know how you would describe this in our
This is post wound as well.
Yeah.
He burned
yeah.
fighting somebody. Yeah.
yeah.
Indeed.
He's wearing the black. Look at this.
He is wearing the blacks, and he's got his the sword on the
is
back.
It long,
and the
long claw or
wolf
just off the
well,
rack.
I looked for a wolf
long
head.
Claw.
The best I found was a stuffed animal, and I thought about severing the head from a stuffed animal. Placing him on the pommel of the sword.
We have a maester in the house,
yeah.
ladies and gentlemen. Maester Logan.
Close enough. I got the monk thing going.
Right.
No
cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about Longclaw. You can actually, on his website, buy a Longclaw.
Right. That's true.
I think they even have
Longclaw
letter opener.
They're currently made from ice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
They have needle as well.
We should make a bust
yes,
of Greg Jon Snow. I want a bust of
have Greg you seen those on the website?
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
just advertising for his website
podcast?
Here right now.
I'm good.
In general.
We're introducing Greg, will you please introduce yourself to America and tell them, like, have you read all the books? What's your what have you been
sure.
exposed to?
Sure. I've been a huge fan ever since I found the book, which was I don't know how many years ago. I was one of the lucky ones to not have the 5-year wait, so I think I finished the series about a year ago. And just been a huge fan ever since. Fan of fantasy my whole life. Amazing series. And I'm ready to celebrate the new HBO rendition. We'll see how it goes.
Can I say one, like, we were in discussion. I want to say one thing that has made me, like, there's one thing that has made me mad. Like,
okay.
mad,
yeah, let's hear
angry.
It.
Okay, so watching all of these, like, House of videos, you know, they have the House of Stark, they have the House of whatever. I watched a Lannister video. And we're telling secrets over at the other end of the table.
He's just guessing at what you're
doing. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
So most of the actors, it seemed like, watching some of the actors talk about their character and what they're doing, they've been pretty respectful of, like, these are the books, this is the story, there is, like, some shoes to fill playing this role.
Mm.
Lena Headey, who is amazing, thank you, Sarah Connor, Terminator, yes, I'm a fan of her. I love 300. She's an amazing, strong, powerful actress.
Yes.
She said some things that made me mad.
About Cersei, her interpretation of Cersei's nature.
I think it's funny that none of us brought this up.
But you actually like Cersei.
It's not that I like Cersei. I like reading about Cersei from other people's point of views. And then when she was introduced, which we won't talk about too much for spoiler
But you do get to get inside her head at some point.
At one point I was like, this is awesome that I get to read about her point of view.
After hearing,
because I was like resistant at first. But this woman, actress...
For us that don't know, what did she say?
We're
going to get there.
I'm
sorry.
It was obvious to me in an interview with her about her character that she had not read the books. It was obvious because she said, I think, and in her Britishness, I think at one point Cersei loved Robert and she loved him, and then that first night, their wedding night, he said Lyanna's name or some other woman's name, and it was all downhill from there. And I was like yelling at the TV at the computer. No, but I was like, she doesn't love him. She's using him. She's boinking the brother. Like, what's going on? You know? I was like, that's not even true. There's no way. Like, she's hated the big fat lug forever, and she always knew
she never did love him.
Best. No.
But she entertained the thought of loving him.
Maybe, though. I mean, he was a stud.
He was a stud, but
have you seen some of that fan art?
Okay.
I mean, come on.
But even before he came back
from
the Trident, she knew, like, he was destined for Lyanna, and she knew it. And he never once made her feel like she was first. Never once.
Mm-mm.
He didn't even try. He didn't even think about trying. So the fact that she said those things,
he
and it was
spurned,
like,
the wrong woman, for sure.
Yeah, but I also understand as an actress how she has to justify every intention she has, so that it makes sense, and she can't think of herself as an evil, cold, heartless woman.
Right.
So I do understand why she said it, but I was also like, no, that is false. I do not agree with what you're saying.
Well, it is a bummer. Hitty. Well, I don't know if that necessarily tips her hand whether she had read the books or not. But I'd like to think they all read the book.
I would.
It wasn't covered. I mean, we can agree on that. It's a point in the life that
well,
was not
the,
covered.
Well, the wedding night was covered.
Yeah.
Was touched upon.
Touched.
Well, I remember. Yeah.
But did she share that later? In a later sort of a moment of.
And I'm not saying that the way I felt was
trying to think
right
what she would have said
or wrong.
Like
it was like my first instinct. Like when I'm watching her saying this, my instinct was to be like, no, incorrect, Lena Headey. No. Nope.
Because there's all those weddings that happen later in later books that. Where she might have reflected back on and commented on her own wedding and what she was thinking about on her wedding night. Like something that she tells to a certain someone on her wedding night.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that part is, all of that stuff, we keep skirting around that, but that's like part of the first episode, part of the first book, like part of the third chapter,
right?
That she,
well, but she has met George R.R. Martin, who's been on the set and maybe coached the actors a little bit or dropped him a couple little character notes here
but
and there.
She is like probably one of the highest paid actresses in the series, and I'm thinking that she could be that person who could get away with being like, I'm not going to read the books because I want to have a fresh perspective on my character.
At the same time, and
I
not
mean,
to belittle the amazing characterization that George R. R. Martin does, but you can't really fuck up her point of view.
She
could make
that's
her likable.
That's what I'm
going to
do.
You could totally make
her likable.
I think that's what she's going to try to do, because I don't think as an actor you can walk in my past acting experience, and there are other actors at the table, I don't think that you can step into a role hating that person. Like, you have to be
you
able
to
relate
to
them.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
I can understand why
she protects
she's
her
like,
children.
But that's
everyone has to justify what they're
but then
doing.
That's the
right.
But then that's the director's job to make that and turn it into the way so that we see
it's
that
not hard,
not actually
it's not hard to find her motivation.
Without
spoiling
right.
anything, I loved about when we finally do see her perspective is he totally the tone of that is like so her, if that makes any sense. Just the way he writes in that is so her character, and I'm like, okay, I finally understand why, like, I understand why she is the way she is because of she's become a certain type of person.
Well, and she is a woman in this game. Like,
well, yes.
I have to say that as the woman at the table. Like, she
because
is.
She's
sure.
Sarah Connor.
Because she's Sarah Connor!
I think she's a little bit, I don't know, just from seeing her on Sarah Connor, I think she's maybe even a little too strong, a little too badass to be the sort of super fragile, super cold Cersei character. Mm. You know, it was just a little...
What I was a little surprised about with her character, just from watching the previews, is that, you know, she's continually described as the most beautiful, yada yada.
Yeah, golden, shiny.
Shiny, golden, exactly. Yeah. And here, and I know they're doing like a somewhat pre-medieval kind of motif, like the early medieval ages, but she's not done up very much.
Nobody
and I expected
she's
her to be this shining star and
makeup.
She's kind of in a frock.
Yeah.
You know? I was surprised.
Well,
I was
from
very
what,
surprised.
You know, from what we've seen, I guess.
Well,
we were talking about
Tyrion and how he's described as like the shock of hair is so blonde, it's white, and like he's not. And Jaime with his golden curls, totally dirty blonde HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not, you know, and the direwolves not being...
It's gold!
Direwolves.
Well, they're babies. I don't know if we've seen... Has there been...
They're not
going to
get any
adult,
bigger
adult?
Dogs.
I saw a picture of the girl who plays Sansa. She actually, like, adopted Lady when, at the end of, when they wrapped, she adopted the dog
nice.
Lady.
The
so...
Dog.
Right. I mean, it looked like a husky. Like, that's what it was. So,
so they're not going to have computer-generated big direwolves.
I don't think
so.
Computer-generated anything.
Hmm.
I mean...
Well, no, they're going to use real dragons.
They're...
Duh!
So far,
there's no dragons. See, when you were talking about the Lannister curls, you know, like Jamie, I saw a picture of Joffrey, you know, online, and even though he didn't have, Joffrey's supposed to have the curls, and he, you know, the kid, he had this, like, short crop hair, but I liked the actor that they cast, because I took one look at him, and I was like, that kid's a shit.
Yeah. I want to kick him in the shins.
So,
that kid's a shit.
That's the feeling you want to get.
Definitely.
And should we talk about the whole age? Like, there are some things. We were talking earlier about how people who haven't read the books, there are going to be a couple things that they're not going to be able to get over quite as quickly as
we do. How many
hours
do we have?
Well, some of the kids are genuinely young, so they're going to run into an aging problem from one season to the next.
I think it's important to bring up that George R. R. Martin originally had wanted to factor in a five-year
break. 5 year? Yeah.
I thought 3, but 5 year.
Well, he keeps changing his story
in the middle of the
as
books.
He goes along.
Okay.
And it didn't work with his stories to pause everything for that long.
Yeah, he had built up so many other characters that he couldn't justify them not accomplishing anything for 5 years.
Yeah. But at the same time, that's not to say that a 13, almost 14-year-old girl didn't have sex in the first.
Yeah, but I have a feeling like
that doesn't really change.
When Viserys hands Daenerys' hand off to Khal Drogo, it'll be like, well, dear sister, now that you're legal.
Okay, but then in the books, you have that whole, like, that's one of the things I'm talking about that I don't think people are going to be able to get over, which is why they changed it. Like, the first, you know, 3 months of their marriage, he pretty much raped her every night because she didn't know what to do and she didn't know how to be, and, like, she hated it.
Do you think that ever happens?
I think they'll touch on that. Okay. We're told I can't even go to real life. But
I'm just saying, in some cultures, overpowering men, young women is not uncommon.
Right, but
I think they've
changed it, obviously, from the little snippets I've seen. It's like, oh my god, we're sleeping on furs and I love you. And that's how it is with their, like, once the initial shock wears off, I think
they're trying to sell something.
I know that, but it's part of that package of, like,
well,
Jamie and Cersei. It's going to be hard for people to get over that right away.
But you don't want to get over that right away. You want to be disgusted with them.
Well, and that's going back to bringing it around town, Bran being 10. Like, Bran is not 7. He's 10.
Yeah, right.
And Rickon is, what, 7 instead of 3. And those.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad.
No.
I'm just saying that it
but
is that way.
A lot of this change is...
It's
like production... problems and some of that too. I don't think they only aged them because of they didn't want to show like violence towards children. I think it's also because older children are easier to work with,
better
actors,
you can get more hours. I mean, a 3-year-old, how many?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just there's child labor laws, and
even if he's in Hodor's pack, he's still working.
I'm actually really excited for, like I said,
Hodor.
Aria.
I really
want to
see Hodor.
Hodor needs his own seagull or whatever. What is that word?
Sigil.
Thank you. I want to see Hodor's
Oh, I thought sigil. The G. I thought the G was hard. Sigil. I thought it was sigil.
Sounds kind of dirty.
Here's the thing, though. Depending on what you're talking about, it can be sigil or sigil, and this is a total geek thing.
Oh,
well, yeah. Which one are we talking about?
Because there is a Dungeons and Dragons city named Sigil that is spelled the same way as sigil. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm looking it up on dictionary.com.
Okay. Well, and that's part of the fantastical thing that I missed. Like, you have a kraken as someone's whatever, mm-hmm. and are we going to see a kraken
sigil.
In this show? I mean, we have a three-headed dragon. We have a dire wolf. And
well,
like, yes, of course they're going to do CGI dragon. But why wouldn't
actually,
do...
there's been references to krakens in the books.
You are quite right. It is sigil.
We have more.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes. One of my favorite things in the books is the creative words that he comes up with for creatures that you can act like lizard lions, like I like how he does
horses.
Stuff.
Yeah,
what
like
do they call them?
Yeah.
Horses,
zorses.
That's
yeah.
right.
I mean, it makes me think of Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. Liger, like it does, but yes, that's what I'm.
No,
saying.
You don't
want to talk about ligers, and
you don't want to go to the North Neck. There's
right.
There's lizard lions.
Now,
yeah.
I to maybe bring up something. When I first read them, I remember the others.
Mm-hmm.
Being described as diamond skinned,
like sparkly.
They're
pictured ice knights.
Wait,
you know,
yeah.
Armor made of ice,
and also
twilight,
sort of
like
twilight vampires. Like, I picture them being like really thin, fragile looking.
Yeah, thin, and then I know it said their armor was like
wasp,
very crystalline and changed colors. And,
except for the dude,
and here I
black.
See. Orc.
Actually, that's a big thing.
Big
even in the 15-minute preview, you get a good long look. At another that takes a long time in the books before you even get like a frightened looking over your shoulder glimpse at one.
Well, because they only give us what's his face
compacted.
From the tree, and like they make very specific decisions about this is what that dude saw, and
well,
this is why he ran away.
Yeah, that's true. And
super
in my memory, it was never really very, very clear if he saw an actual other or not.
But all
right?
he knew
well,
was
he
that
saw
he was
his
a deserter.
Turned bright blue eyes.
He did see
he
that.
Saw,
no,
saw
but
whites,
it wasn't
sure.
even his friend. It was
the
like
Lord
he
Wayne.
Saw
well,
the dude with the black skin and the blue eye and a sword through
yes.
the eye, which
yeah.
I did not see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
sword
it,
through the
actually,
eye.
Well, so actually,
but,
do we? We don't really know whether that guy was another or not, do we? In the preview. I mean, I sort of assumed it
well,
was.
The preview
well, no, because in the prologue of the first book, it does say an other appears and it does describe
yeah.
what
yes.
it looks like.
Yes.
So I'm assuming that the thing that popped up behind him was another.
Right.
Well,
so,
yeah, it cuts off his head. And then,
well, yeah.
But there, I remember in the books, the others were described as just, like, the people who had died, except their eyes were bright blue and they were pure white, like the snow all around them. But then
well,
there was that one other that
well,
had
there's
the
a
black.
Difference
between,
there's the
oh,
other
well,
and the
one that Bran...
And there's the white
hands.
Yeah. And
what's his name?
I thought Cold that was wait, wasn't that Waymar Royce?
Wait, wait, that's we're in the spoiler territory.
I don't know,
stop,
but that's
stop.
Who we
no.
saw in the 15-minute preview
sorry.
Was that black skinned dude.
Gotcha.
But I remember, like, yes, they show what he. But the first perspective that we get of the others is
uh-huh.
what's his name telling
uh-huh.
those dudes what he saw.
Right.
Like that's
so
our
we
first
only get
thing.
The secondhand
and then it,
version of it.
Yeah, first.
Yeah.
And I think. Because we don't have a book on this table, bad podcast.
Well,
in
the actual book, I know that there is a description of the other appearing in the
yeah.
actual
mm-hmm.
prologue of the
okay.
first
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And
it's distinct. There's a difference between the other
and
the whites. The wildlings that they
yeah.
killed.
Yeah.
What's our time limit
28
here?
28 minutes. We don't have a time limit, but we don't have a time limit. I just want to point out.
Well, that's true. We don't. I don't. What maybe we'll take a break. And
I mean,
then,
sure.
Or we could wrap up our. This is just our preview.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
the
thoughts
half.
Thing, and then so we'll do a half hour preview, and then we'll come back and do further reflections after we watch it.
Unless there's a topic that didn't get brought up that anybody like feels strongly about talking about before we step away.
Fans love drama. Is there anything pressing?
I said my piece about Cersei and Lena, and not that it was a bad or a good thing. It's just how I felt at that one moment that I was angry, and now I'm over it, sort of.
We'll see what happens tonight.
Right.
Do we need
what?
To have a legal disclaimer?
I will just say that. Be open minded about
right.
the whole show.
I will just say that yeah, I've very deliberately try to be open minded about a film or TV version of anything that I've read, just because no matter what you do, you are never going to capture everyone's envision of how they envisioned it, you know.
Right.
And so, to me, I try to hold back my expectations a little bit, and to me, I just hope they create a really well directed and well acted and well presented story.
It's an adaptation. It's always going to be an adaptation.
I do have an opinion on Sean Bean as Lord Eddard, and it is that if anyone says that they don't like his characterization, there's no way that they can get to me, because I would watch Sean Bean cast as, you know, Arya. Like, I would watch Sean Bean cast in just about any role. He's a cool guy, so.
That leads me to prolong maybe a minute or so. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I read in a pre-scripting or whatever that there was a scene where that was not in the books, where Sean Bean said something to his wife to the effect of, "I'm not your dog. I do what I want to do," or something like that.
Sean Bean, the actor, said this to his
To Neddard Stark, said that, and I felt one of the strongest character points of Eddard is that he loves his wife and he does whatever she says, and that leads to tragedy over and over again. Not to say that she did bad things, but just kept leading to tragedy.
In the books, she knows her place. She knows the duty. She knows what's up. And in the show, she whines a lot. Like, from what I've seen, it's, "Do you really have to go? Bran is too young. I don't like this." And he's like, "Shut up, woman." So
But that's what pisses me off, is he should never say "shut up, woman," because he's in love with his wife.
Yeah, but she's a biatch in the show so far. And then he says,
She might be the weakest characterization of all the stuff I've seen in the previews so far.
I mean, it's all we've seen so far is her questioning every decision he's made in this 15-minute preview. And she doesn't do that in the books. She doesn't weep when he says he has to go be the Hand of the King. No, you don't have to go. Like, she doesn't say that. She says, "I know."
I mean, she argues a lot. At the beginning.
Yeah, that's,
they have several arguments, but it's always in private.
It's going to be too bad if they make her too weepy early on, because where her character heads, it's like, where are they going to go? You know, emotionally, it's like.
So it'll be a 180. That's right.
Yeah.
And in the books, you can tell that she struggles with the way she feels about Jon. But from watching that preview where it's like she's questioning his decisions and then she turns around and she's like, "I don't like you," face to Jon.
But that's what Jon sees anyway. So that's
sort of appropriate. That totally is how she feels, though. Little does she know. For things that I think I know. About Jon. I love Jon Snow. I love that whole mystery and how everyone thinks they know what's going on, and I bet George R. R. Martin has something up his sleeve that, like,
he might. Yeah, he might.
Let's not talk anymore in the microphone and then talk about what we think.
Yeah, why don't we end here?
Okay, all right, we're signing off,
Signing off
for a break. For a break. Until the second part of the show.
Yeah, we'll be back with reactions.
Dark Wings, Dork Words, a Game of Thrones podcast. Conceived by Chuck Davis. Produced by Boombox Productions. Recorded in Omaha, Nebraska. Featuring Chuck Davis, Brendan J.D. Riley, Eric Salonis, Molly Welsh, and this week's special guest, Greg Precht, dressed as Jon Snow. Join us right here for coverage on the first episode, Winter's Coming.